May 10th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, part two of this week's podcast series. And in reality, it's actually May 7th, but we're doing some pre-recording because Max and I will both be off. That's the mighty Max Martinson, our producer, will be off on May 17th. And I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown. I come to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beautiful Banting Park home. And again, I'm joined by my very talented young producer, the mighty Max Martinson, who's producing from home, not normally from the where he is in the WAUK studios in Radio Park on Victory Drive. He's in downtown Milwaukee. And Max is my guest for this podcast, for this round two, because he's got a great story to tell. He's been involved in a lot, doing some great things in his academic career at MATC in broadcasting. Is that the official major, Max?
I believe the official name of it is television and video production.
Television and video production. But he's got a strong radio background. And you were involved in a project today, I believe, a press conference, right, for Earl Ingram?
Yeah, so there was a couple of organizations who met up at, I believe it's the North Division High School is the official name of it.
Okay.
With in regards to the recent news story with MPS schools, with the lead contamination with
them. That's what that was about. Okay, terrific. And that was a full day for you then, huh?
Yeah, so the press conference was at about 2. It started at like 2, and then we got to go inside of the schools where they're actually doing all of their lead screening. So they have a full clinic set up for MPS students to come in and get tested. And then, yeah, there was a bunch of, there was a couple of city officials, officials from the health department here. And then, a couple of different organizations helping with relief as well. So Salvation Army Relief was there. And then Children's Hospital, also had a few people there today.
Okay, good. Well, it's hard to believe that that's still a thing. That our schools aren't safe for that in terms of the materials, the hazardous materials. It really, it's just mind boggling, but we take our hats off to Earl Ingram for really raising awareness for that cause. And hopefully we can start to see effects some more change rapidly for the sake of those students.
Yeah. So. And like you and Chris talked about in that first episode, like this is also going to be maybe potentially the start of a lot more digital content coming from civic media. So
yeah,
more video content potentially to be posted on social media, and then maybe even played during some of the network shows throughout the week.
Yeah, that's terrific. Well, and it is a nice thing about the podcast space is that we have the flexibility of time, whereas, radio doesn't always allow you that. We have to stick to a strict schedule, got to keep the trains running on time. And of course, radio will always be a valuable medium, and there's aspects of it I certainly miss, but I really love this platform and what we're able to do with it to tell our stories. And as I mentioned in the first series, one of my listeners who lives all the way out in Delafield, he really likes that we have younger people, high school and college students, and talking about what it is they're working on, their plans. And then, everyone's got a story to tell. And it's certainly, it's important for us to find out what our young people are involved in. And Max, you're certainly a great case study with the work you're doing. Max invited me to participate in a project he was doing with the Milwaukee Admirals. It was a half hour show, a kind of a showcase, a highlighting all the wonderful, things that the Milwaukee Admiral hockey team does for Milwaukee and for its fans. And I was really grateful to be a part of that opportunity. And Max, how was it for you?
It was a lot of work that went into it. That show was, I don't remember the exact date of when that show was recorded. I know it aired sometime last month. But yeah, it was, it's, the project itself started way back. I mean, the first contact was made before the start of the year for that. And the first frame I ever filmed for that project was January 6th. So the day before my birthday, I was actually there the day after on my birthday, doing some more filming with them for that. So, I mean, the whole process itself, they were super accommodating with pretty much everything that I needed. And I do think that the stories that I was able to tell were pretty captivating, especially the one with the players. The main goal was to pretty much like feature the team in a sense that obviously everyone in Milwaukee knows about the Bucks and the Brewers. But like because the Admirals aren't a major league team, they don't get the same amount of attention. But with that being said, they're like right now they're in the regular season. They were, I think they were the number one seed in their, like in their conference or division or, so yeah, they're a very successful team. I think last I checked, they went down 2-0 in their second round of the playoffs. But yeah, it was a pretty awesome experience just getting to work with, because I do potentially still want to go into sports broadcasting for a career. So it was nice to also kind of see some of the work that goes into that. Yeah. Obviously, the stuff that I was doing was more. Was more story focused. But I mean, there was also quite a bit of a sense of stuff that you do for live as well.
Oh, very neat. So, now you kind of grew up in the business, right? Your parents have been in broadcasting, radio and television for many years. And, that obviously had an influence, but it wasn't like they didn't force you into it. It was something that you kind of you developed a passion for as well. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean they met in radio, like, or allegedly met in radio. I wasn't alive at the time, but yeah, they met in radio, working in South Dakota, and then obviously like my family was the owners of the radio, Civic Media's radio station in Baraboo. And after Civic had bought the station, that's when my family kind of went up into the more corporate aspect of of Civic. But I started working for Max FM when I was like, I think the week after I turned 13, when I was legally allowed to have a work permit. Yeah, and I mean even before then, like I was down there all the time.
You didn't have to cut the grass.
No, unfortunately, we didn't have any grass because the original location was right downtown. But I probably would have been my job if we would have. But like, I've always been more captivated by visual storytelling. And I'm not like, that's not a diss to radio or anything. I think both have their. I think both of them definitely have their place. But. Sports has been something that I've wanted to do for literally my whole life. I mean, even before I kind of went into TV, I was even thinking about potentially getting into like football coaching. And I had actually worked two seasons with the Baraboo High School football team. As what like their like assistant coach for a little bit.
Did you have a specialty like defensive backs or linemen or what did they put you?
No, I kind of just floated around. I did a lot of like analytics, because that was something that they hadn't really tapped into. And then I would take stats during the games, and there was a few times where like I would, you know, suggest some things because I had studied the playbook just like everyone else on the team, and you know I was up in the box with the rest of the coaching staff up there. Yeah. So, I mean, like, and. Credit to them, they for the most part, you know, they listened to everyone's opinion up there. It wasn't just a situation just because like at the time I was 17, like, that they just brushed me aside as if like it didn't matter. Like I remember in one of the playoff games we did, like there was a situation where one of the other team's cornerbacks was like, he was super short compared to like our tallest receiver.
Yeah.
And we like, I literally suggested we just run a play where we basically just, we had a play call where, because he was a basketball player.
Yeah.
So we called it the rebound play, where you literally just lob it up to him and he just goes over the top of whoever's on him.
Sky's over the corner.
Yeah.
And
I remember we ran that play. It worked pretty much to perfection. We got like 30 yards out of it because like they, and I think the drive after that, they finally realized what the issue there was, but
they had to make some changes in the personnel there.
Yeah. But I mean, in terms of the broadcasting side, I'm way more drawn to television. And I think there's also something to be said for me personally about not wanting to do exactly what my family's done.
Yeah.
I want to be able to make a name for myself and make things for myself that don't have the, you know, obviously with the stuff for Civic, now that it's like the family aspect, like all of us are involved. I don't want to be known as just, you know, Maddie and Corey's kid.
Sure.
I want to be known as Max, the person who went out and, you know, did this story or created that.
Well, you know, and I said, in my opinion is that I think you are making your own name for yourself. And, I don't know if you knew this, but after we got when I was involved in the Admirals show production, as I was driving home, your dad, Corey, had texted me and said, you know, thanks for doing that. It literally, you know, I guess he was watching it live or something, and he was really impressed. And so, I mean, that's got to feel good for you, though, that they, like, I would think that they're very proud of the work you're doing and know that you kind of are your own. You're not a boss's kid, you know, you're kind of making your own way in the world.
I do hope that. I'm not going to speak for them, but I mean, like, even like this year, two of the stories I did for school, for our school news program, MATC Now, both won first place at the Student WBA Awards.
Wow. So those are articles you did?
So it was two news stories. It was one we did around the election time with
an
organization called Souls to the Polls, where we did a feature piece kind of, you know, showing off their mission. So that won first place in the general news story category.
Congratulations. Wow.
And then I also...
This was television news? I'm sorry.
Yes. So this was... The Student WBA Awards, it's basically like all of the other colleges around the state. So I beat out schools like Madison and Oshkosh and Whitewater and all of those. Then I also did another piece that was a feature piece on MATC's baking and pastry program. And that one won first place in the feature news story category. So
terrific. I'm gonna take a quick break to talk about some local news that this week is Municipal Clerks Week. And the city of Waukesha recognized the great job that their staff is doing there. And I also want to shout out to my good friend, the city clerk of the city of New Berlin, Rubina Medina, who'd worked for the city of Waukesha for 20 years and very devoted professional and does terrific work. And much like I said, the work that the clerk's office does in Waukesha, and we're anybody in Waukesha County, you know, definitely go by and thank them, because we do rely on them for much more than we think. And so I thought it was great that the city did some acknowledgments on social media for them. I also want to talk, this is also National Drinking Water Week, which really hits home in Waukesha because we've made that big historic shift to Lake Michigan water. So we have clean drinking water. And the water utility, many people know this, but we don't take advantage of it. And I know I want to, is they have ways of encouraging you to conserve water. And they're offering $20 rain barrel rebate program. So you can buy those rain barrels from like Home Depot. You get $20 back. You show a receipt or something. There's a $100 water cents toilet rebate and a $25 water cents shower head rebate. And so I encourage people to check that out. And you know, we still, believe it or not, we buy bottled water. You know, we do it because we have kids in sports and it's handy to be able to take those. But, you know, I think we need to kind of man up more and buy some good containers and what do you call them? Thermoses, and fill them with our tap water and take those along. So because it's been years, you know, for 20 years, you weren't supposed to drink tap water in Waukesha because of the risks, the health risks with what was in the water. So now that we have Lake Michigan water, definitely we should be doing more with it to our advantage, especially since we're paying for it. But hey, another big shout out to, and Max, you might remember this. I had a, when we were on radio about a year ago, we had a local punk rock band called the Nunchucks. Mm-hmm. Their front man, Evan Van Dixon at the time, was a catcher for Waukesha South varsity baseball team, one of them. And he's since retired from baseball. His younger brother, Ethan's now, I believe as a freshman or sophomore, he's catching for Waukesha South's varsity team. But the Nunchucks are playing at the Let It Be Beatles theme nightclub that's located on Clinton Street, just a couple doors down from Mia's. And it's on Friday the 16th. So that's why I wanted to get out there. It's $10 admission. And normally you pay a lot more to go see bands at that Let It Be. It's only open for, they only open it for like concerts for private events. And usually you're paying a lot more than that to get in the door. So especially if they're Beatles theme events. But I, again, I'm a big fan of this young group and very bold that they're exploring the genre of punk rock. And so if you're looking for something fun to do on Friday night, May 16th, be able to check out, you know, be sure to take a hard look at checking out the Nunchucks at Let It Be right there in downtown. So, and you can make a night out of it. A lot of great places you can dine at before you go see the show. So, but back to my good friend here, my producer, the mighty Max Martinson. And what's it? So you're doing radio, but now you're doing podcasting. And there's got to be some differences in the two. And what are they like for you?
I mean, podcasting is a lot easier in a sense because things that go wrong during a podcast are recorded. You can just completely get rid of them. Whereas if something happens during live broadcast, it's live. You can't really do anything about it.
And you can't do it. Yeah,
it's the same. It's the same for TV too. I mean, it's like anything that you're doing. Any like packages you're creating ahead of time, like if you're out in the field and if you're working with talent, you like need them to say something a slightly different way, it's as simple as do it again. But like when you're live, you're stuck with what you get. So and that's kind of what our capstone is for our program, which is coming up on the 17th. We'll be live for Student Operations Day for 2 hours straight.
Let me kind of do a little precursor to this. We know why I mentioned the first podcast. I'm not available on the May 17th because I'll be at the food pantry serving Waukesha County's annual fundraiser, the Breakfast Club. And that's why Max is working with me on this weeknight. But Max can't be there on the 17th either because you graduate first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Earning your degree.
Yeah. Graduation is at noon.
So congratulations. And then right when graduation's on, you know, you can't go out to lunch with your family and start partying. What do you got to do?
Our final show, our big, like the big capstone of our whole time and 2 years in the program is live from 3 to 5. So wow. I'm going to be graduating and you're literally going to like, people are literally going to see me walk off the stage. If I even get the chance to walk, literally running out of the doors of the Panther Arena to run up the hill. To get back to PBS.
You should bring a handheld camera with you as you're walking the stage, shaking hands with the dean and getting your diploma. You maybe taking a minute to hug mom and dad and then go running out the door up the hill.
Yeah,
so, that'd be a really cool effect, you know.
Yeah, we are actually doing a package for our graduation, so we're gonna have Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson on as one of our studio guests. We're doing a live game show. So it should be pretty fun.
That's terrific. Oh, great. Well, obviously very proud of you and very grateful for the work that we've been doing together. And, in this final minute, we have to say, what else do you want listeners to know about the mighty Max Martinson and, why they should hire them for their next movie or TV project?
I'm one of the hardest workers that you'll find. Obviously everyone in my program, is fantastic. No doubt. But like I'm one of the people who do believe in going, you know, the extra mile to get that one more shot of B-roll or getting that one more question in during an interview just to make the story so much better. I don't want to stop at like it was kind of an interesting look at it today, especially with all of the other news organizations being around the press conference that happened today. they were getting, you know, they were getting what they needed to do their news story. But I think I stuck around for about an hour or two longer than pretty much every other network. And I, again, I get that they have time commitments because they probably wanted everything to be ready for their 5 or 6 o'clock newscasts. But I was there. I like having the ability to craft a better story rather than just getting it out because it's happening.
Sure, sure. Terrific. The mighty Max Martinson. I'm the only one who calls him that, by the way. It's a ripoff of Bruce Springsteen's drummer, Mighty Max Weinberg, who's the drummer on the Conan O'Brien show. But you are mighty, and again, I thank you for being my guest tonight and for allowing me to put you on the spot.
Yeah, for sure.
But I believe you deserve a lot of credit, and I hope we can do this again soon because I know you have so much more to tell. And it's been great for me because the first podcast we had Chris Morrow, who 50 years plus in radio and a lot of stories to tell. We got to have him on again soon. And then you have young Max Martinson. What, you're 21, 22?
21.
I'm allowed to ask you because you're, so, yeah, I mean, but like Chris, you started out as a young teen in radio and or at least in broadcast, and you've had a passion for it, and you're doing what you love. You're living your best life. And so I want to thank you for sharing with us. And I guess we'll see you this Saturday. We won't see you the following Saturday because you'll be graduating and finishing your big project. But again, thank you again for accommodating us tonight. And thanks everybody for listening. Please remember always, safety is everybody's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right, especially as we honor Mental Health Awareness Month. And we look forward to seeing you all, or, you know, connecting with you all again very soon. Thanks again. Go Ramila Mahagav Goler, and see ya!